is where we are tonight. I don't know, my arms don't get tired when I'm playing the guitar.
Nah.
You know, I've thought about doing that, just having a praise night. Just, we might just do that. All right, Joshua chapter 4, remembering His promise. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, we went through this last week, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests stood, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them, and they took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. And Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. Now the priests who carried the Ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over, and as soon as all of them had crossed, the Ark of the Lord and the priests came to the other side while the people watched. The men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh also crossed over, armed in front of the Israelites, as Moses had directed them. About 40,000 armed for battle crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. That day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all of Israel, and they revered him all the rest of the days of his life, just as they had revered Moses. Then the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests carrying the Ark of the Testimony to come up out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests, come up out of the Jordan. And the priests came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And no sooner had they set their feet on dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage just as before. And on the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and they camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal those 12 stones that they had taken out of the Jordan. And he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Father, I thank you for this amazing, amazing picture for us, Lord, tonight. Lord, it's no doubt that this was an incredible thing to behold and to be a part of, and to be there would have been awesome. But Lord, even now it's awesome to us because we realize you are an awesome God and you're strong and powerful and in charge and you can do all these things, Lord. And you do things that just confound the wise. And we just thank you for that. And I pray, Lord, even tonight as we go through this passage, that you'll speak to us because there are things in here that relate directly to who we are and what you have for us. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to look at a couple of different kinds of stones tonight. The first stone we're going to look at is what are called standing stones. Now, if you ever go into a lot of parts of the ancient world, you will see standing stones. There's standing stones in England called Stonehenge. There are standing stones in lots of different places. Standing stones were basically put up to remember something. It's interesting that we kind of took off on that and we started putting up statues to remember things or people, you know. And so, I mean, you can't drive down the street without seeing a statue right by the museum, of Northwest Museum. So there's statues everywhere put up to remember things. These stones, these standing stones, were called stones of remembrance. So Joshua had told them, or God had told Joshua to choose 12 men, one from each of the tribes. Now, one of the reasons that I believe that God asked him to do this is because he wanted all of Israel to be together in this. All of Israel to be on the same page. If he had just chosen 12 guys that he just liked and were buddies with, it'd be different, you know, and a lot of people would have felt left out. But every tribe was a part of this. And God had asked them to go and to pick up these stones, 12 men, one from each of the tribes. And then God makes this promise to all of Israel. It's so that they will all know that He's still the God of Israel. He's not just the God of one of the tribes or two of the tribes or three. He's the God of Israel. God is not in the habit of leaving anyone out. I want you to understand that because of God's great love, He's not going to leave anybody out. His love is for everyone. And His obedience is called out for everyone as well. So they were stones of remembrance. And he had asked Joshua to do this so that when people asked, when their children asked what these stones were for, they could remember what God had done at this point. They were also called stones of reprieve. Even though the people had not entered the promised land the first time, when they were supposed to, you remember that? You know, they had a business meeting and voted it down. God still had a plan for them. He didn't change. God didn't change the plan. God's plan was to still give them this promised land. We frequently give up or give in when something doesn't happen the way we think it should. And we throw in our, you know, the towel, or we throw up our hands and say, I'm done with this. But God's not done. He's not done. In fact, Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, one of my favorite passages. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. Aren't you glad? For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I guarantee you, God is faithful. And so these stones were a reminder of what God had just done, taking them across a flood stage river on dry ground. They were also stones of reprieve for Him to say, listen, I haven't changed. I still have this land for you. And I'm giving it to you if you'll just go take it. They were also called stones of record. What do these stones mean? When the children were going to ask their parents, what do these stones mean? God would say, or the parents would say, God did something amazing for us. He did, in verse 24 it says, He did this so that all the peoples of the earth, all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. You know what, folks? God is so incredibly amazing that if we don't tell our children about Him, I mean, what are we thinking? If we don't share the things that God has done in our life with other Christians, why wouldn't we do that? God is looking for people who are willing to give Him the glory because He deserves it. Did you ever wonder why He asked Him to pick up rocks instead of pick up tree branches or something else? Well, I think there's a beauty in this. First of all, Jesus is the rock. Remember? And those who build upon the rock shall not be shaken, the Scripture tells us. In Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, it says, so this is what the Sovereign Lord says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. Literally, Jesus is the picture of the rock. He is the rock. And so in going out and picking up these rocks, God was using illustratively with the children of Israel that they are picking up something that's not going to change. See, these rocks, when they set them up, they're still set up. The rocks that have been set up all through those countries, they're still there. They don't go away easily, right? Psalm chapter 118, verse 22. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. You see, these stones were to be a lasting sign for all to see. And so when Jesus said, I am the cornerstone, literally what he's saying is everybody needs to see that they can build their life on me. They are the standing stones, and they're still all over the countries over there. And all over the countries here where people have put up monuments. And if you go down Abbey Lane over there, you'll see a bunch of standing stones. It's called a cemetery. Seriously, that's what they are. They're standing stones. But there's also, I think, an even deeper picture here. The Scripture calls us, if we know Christ, living stones. We stand up for Christ wherever we are, but we don't just stand in one place. We're living stones. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says this, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." We are also to also remember what He has done for us. Just like they remembered that day that God took them across the river on dry ground, we've got to be reminded and mindful of what God has done for us. We are to remain steadfast. We are to relate this to others. You know, some people are going to ask us, well, what is it that has changed your life? And we become that standing stone, which is really a living stone, to be able to tell them what God has done for us. There's no greater testimony, by the way, and no greater way to share the gospel with anybody than to tell them what God has done for you. Seriously. So we are His living stones. And here's some things that living stones do. One is that living stones move. You see, we get to not just stand in one place and have everybody come here, we get to go to them. We get to take the story of Jesus to other people. See, they don't come and gaze upon us, looking at us and going like, "Oh, wow, you're pretty amazing. God must have done something." No, we are to go to them. We in fact, Jesus has told us to go and to tell. So what we do is we take what God has done in us and take it to others and share it with others. That's what living stones do. We move. We don't just stay here and go, if you want to see what a Christian's like, just come look at me. Right. No, we don't do that. But there's another thing that living stones do. They build. You see, they were to use their stones to build the confidence of their families and their friends and even foreigners. Every time somebody would come and see these stones, they would ask what they're there for. And all the people would be able to say, "God did this for us." They would never say, "Well, we figured out how to get across the Jordan by ourselves and we just moved 2 million people across at flood stage." No, it was all about God. They couldn't have gotten across it without Him. It was all about Him. In the same way, we are to use the message of Christ to everyone that God puts in our path. As a living stone, we ought to be ready to speak. Not as Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm ready to share it with anybody who needs to hear it." Now, this is the cream on top of the cake right here. The name Gilgal means the reproach has been rolled away. This happened on the 10th day of the first month, exactly 40 years to the day that Israel had left Egypt. What a coincidence. No. You know why? Because God said they'd be out of that promised land for 40 years. On the 40 years was up, they went in. Ooh, I like that. Not far from Gilgal, another stone was rolled away, and the reproach of our sins was defeated. Amen? See, we are the body of Christ, and we work together to bring others into the body as living stones, ones who testify to what has happened here. You see, that's the picture that's right here in Joshua for us. Yes, it's a beautiful picture of how God took care of His people. Because He always does. But it's also a picture for us right now, right here where we live, to say, listen, God has done something for me. And I can't help but speak about what God has done. I can't help it. I am going to tell people about the best thing ever. Jesus Christ became the ultimate sacrifice for me so that I could have life. So that I could have life. I'm a living stone. You're a living stone. And God wants us to stand and testify to who He is and what He's done. See, when all this was happening, people didn't get that yet. They got that God was faithful, that God had gotten them across, they got that God was going to lead them into battle. That they understood those things, but they didn't yet understand what was yet to come. They were looking to that day, Hebrews tells us. And by faith, they were looking for the Messiah that would come. But see, we get to know Him already. And so now we are living stones. We are testimonies. We are people who have been changed. And we have the opportunity now to stand and to proclaim the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, I